Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Vox Talk for the week of Tuesday, the 18th of March. My name is Ross and I'm compiling this week's edition. This week's news items were collected from the local Oxford papers, with news being edited by Minnie Wood and read by Janet Proudman, with other news being selected and read by Elizabeth Dale. Sunrise for the upcoming week will be around 6 a.m. with sunset being around 6 p.m. The copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Here, there will be some instructions on how to listen to OxTalk using your Alexa device, and at the end of this edition, you will hear how to access OxTalk online.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.
A travel magazine publisher has named the 14 prettiest villages in the Cotswolds, with Astle near Burford topping the list. Condé Nast, which was founded in 1909 and headquartered at One World Trade Centre in the financial district of Lower Manhattan, published the list a fortnight ago. With celebrities such as Top Gear's Jeremy Clarkson, DJ Calvin Harris and American talk show hosts Ellen DeGeneres making their homes there, the Cotswolds has garnered a star-studded reputation. Describing the area as quintessentially English, Condé Nast has listed villages based on their aesthetics, selection of pubs and choice of country walks. Astle is first on the list, with the West Oxfordshire village turning heads due to its striking 12th century church and the Jacobean Astle Manor. Once a Roman settlement that linked Cirencester with St Albans, the area is now home to Mr Clarkson's pub, The Farmer's Dog, since it opened last year. Snow's Hill is next up, being described as charming and has one of the prettiest National Trust gardens and house in Oxfordshire. Snow's Hill has become a popular day destination due to its sense of fun and theatre. Quaint countryside retreat Burford is another entry from Oxfordshire, with its enchanting 15th century properties being a particular eye-catcher. This town between Oxford and Cheltenham was once a medieval hub due to its wool trade, with one of the key sites to see now being Burford Abbey. Stanton can be found at the bottom of the Cotswolds escarpment and is noted for its golden-tinged Jurassic limestone, also known as Cotswold Stone. Another Oxfordshire entry is Kingham, mentioned due to in part its organic farm shop, spa and wild rabbit restaurant. Blockley and Painswick are both also featured on the list due to their local pubs and walking routes. Known to locals as the Venice of the Cotswolds, Boughton-on-the-Water in Gloucestershire features the River Windrush. Walking and cycling routes are in abundance, and local churches are highlighted by Condé Nast during a visit to this spot. Moving over to Worcestershire, and here is Broadway, one of the larger towns on the Cotswolds, but offers the perfect option for a car-free escape. Castle Combe is regarded as enduring due to its continued existence of several 13th century attractions. Another larger town, Stow-on-the-Wold, is praised for its historic architecture as well as local food, with St Edward's Church flagged as a must visit on any trip. Lower and Upper Slaughter round off the list with peaceful churches, gardens and graveyards.
Oxford United have linked up with the international hotel group Radisson to provide a 180-room hotel at the club's proposed new stadium in Kidlington. The hotel would form part of the proposed development on land known as the Triangle, north of Oxford. Oxford United submitted a planning application to Chorwell District Council for a 16,000-capacity stadium south of Kidlington Roundabout at the end of February 2024. It was announced last month that the council has asked for more time to review additional information, meaning the earliest a decision will be made on the stadium application is June the 5th. The site would include a 16,000 capacity stadium, a 1,000 capacity conference and exhibition centre, and the 180-room Radisson Hotel, as well as bars, restaurants and fitness and entertainment facilities. More than half of the hotel guest rooms would overlook the pitch and will feature what's described as a fresh Scandinavian design with a restaurant on the ground floor. The club says it will create almost 1,000 jobs to support the local economy. Adam Benson, Chief Commercial and Marketing Officer at Oxford United, said, "Signing an agreement of this nature marks a major milestone for the stadium development. The fact we can attract a partner of the calibre of Radisson Hotel Group is a real endorsement of the world-class complex we're looking to build. At every stage of the process, the Radisson team demonstrated a real understanding of what we're trying to achieve. Their offering, accommodation and associated facilities will fit perfectly with the overall development, ensuring an exceptional experience for all visitors. The hotel is a key part of our plans to create a multi-purpose venue while supporting the club's ability to operate an economically sustainable long-term home." Oxford United says visitor experience has been placed at the heart of the design of the project, with the inclusion of community-focused open public green spaces, which will be available to deliver increased education, health and wellbeing programmes. Jonathan Clark, Development Director at Oxford United, added, "We conducted a thorough tender process for our hotel partner, and the Radisson Hotel Group stood out for their strong sustainability credentials, beautiful design, and understanding of how to integrate a hotel into a leisure and community facility. The standards they set are world class, from interior design and visitor experience through to sustainability. Our visions are perfectly aligned and we look forward to working together."
Campaigners took to the city to deliver an open letter calling for an Oxford University academic to step down from a review into the spread of bovine TB. Professor Sir Charles Godfrey, who is known for supporting the controversial badger culling policy, was appointed as chairman of the review, which aims to assess how the government will continue to control the spread of bovine TB. He's among a group of Oxford academics involved in the review who have previously supported badger culling. More than 6,000 people have signed an open letter from Protect the Wild calling for Sir Charles to step down and for the panel to be overhauled and replaced by people with no vested interests. Members of the Oxfordshire Badger Group and Protect the Wild stood outside the Oxford Martin School to hand in the petition. Linda Ward from the Oxfordshire Badger Group said, "We want them to stand down because they're all known to be pro-culling. They've made their careers from backing the culling of badgers. The work that they did as young people is now being used to justify the badger cull, even though more recent science shows that it's unfounded, and the true answer to managing the disease is better herd control. We want Oxford scientists to either stand down or man up and tell the truth, that they got it wrong and that culling has no place in the management of bovine TV. Bob Pownall, founder of Protect the Wild, who set up the petition, said, "I'm so angry about what's going on. We've seen 250,000 badgers killed over the last decade or so. Labour were brought into government. They said they would end it, but nothing has changed. They've set up this sham of a review, stacking it with pro-culling Oxford academics, the very same people like Professor Godfrey, who were on the review back in 2018, to look at the science and whether badger culling is working. What are we going to see? The same results. Tuberculosis rates in cattle are the same a decade ago as they are now. It's a disgrace." The group walked into the Oxford Martin School to hand in the petition, but it was refused. They continued to walk around different sites in Oxford, including the Department of Biology and the Department of Statistics. The University of Oxford was contacted for comment.
Oxford residents say they're living in a bus desert and are calling for a route connecting Cudslow and Jericho to Botley via the city centre to return. More than 800 people have signed a petition calling for the return of a bus linking North and West Oxford via Kingston Road and Walton Street. The organisers say this will help those who cannot afford to drive or get taxis, as well as those who struggle to walk or cycle long distances, to access local shops and GP services. They add that patients on Botley Road need to access GP services in Jericho and Beaumont Street once the road is reopened. Funding for the 17 bus, which was operated by Stagecoach, was withdrawn in July 2016 due to Oxfordshire County Council cutting bus subsidies. Thames Travel tried to continue the 17 service to Jericho after this, but it was withdrawn after the revenue it made failed to cover the costs of keeping it running. The petition reads, "To the west of Woodstock Road, there is a bus desert. We have had no bus service since the 17 disappeared. We desperately need a bus service linking Cudslow, North Oxford, Summertown, West Oxford and Botley via Kingston Road and Walton Street and dipping into the areas off these roads. The route will go round Jericho and then to the city centre shops and railway station." Fiona Cross, who set up the petition, said, "We support the bus filters and want to avoid car travel, but if you cannot do active travel for any reason, you feel relatively trapped. On cold, wet, rainy days, school children are sometimes picked up by parents. The traffic on the streets from Cudslow to the railway station via Sunnymead, Summertown, Waterways, Walton Manor, Waterside, Jericho and along the Botley Road is noticeably worse in term time with school runs. The campaigning group for the bus formed last May. Ms Cross said, "We wanted to support reducing our carbon footprints in the street for housing and transport and helping nature biodiversity in our street. Complaints about a lack of access to buses that we need for daily living were universal in the group. Some of us managed to active travel and walk and cycle everywhere, but we know of many friends and neighbours who cannot." One anonymous testimony that was submitted to the campaign group and later the county council said, "My husband has limited mobility due to a serious chronic lung condition compounded by a hip fracture 3 years ago. Although surgery was successful and he can walk again, his mobility and breathing vary. He can only get as far as the Jericho shops sometimes, and that very slowly. The petition will be presented to Oxfordshire County Council on March the 27th. Stagecoach has been contacted for comment.
A group of topless women gathered in Oxford recently as part of a performance urging the public to question whether the dairy industry's exploitation of female reproductive systems is humane. The performance art, called Milk is Not Humane, was part of a global event led by an artist, Stephanie Lane, founder of Speciesism WTF. It took place on Saturday, March the 8th, in 14 UK cities, including Oxford, on International Women's Day. The performance featured women shackled and hooked up to makeshift breast milking machines, depicting the condition female dairy cows endure. After the performance, members of the public were asked, "Do you think this is humane?" Ms. Lane's aim was to question the nature of the dairy industry's treatment of female reproductive systems. The women started their performance outside the Ashmolean Museum before moving on to the Bodleian, Bridge of Sighs and ending in Cornmarket. Members of the public engaged with the art guides to find out more about the message behind the performance, and a few said to have become emotional when they made the connection to understand the horrific enslavement female cows endure for human consumption. Ms. Lane argues that the art world, desiring to be inclusive, must include all things that have feelings. She said the exhibition installation is a stark reminder of how far we have to go as a species in educating people about the injustices against our fellow female animals and eradicating them. She believes the performance had particular significance as it was held on International Women's Day. Susan Clark, the event coordinator, said, "Stephanie Lane's art installations have engaged and alarmed audiences throughout the world, and this was another opportunity to see her unique expression of the inequality afforded to farmed animals and the cruelty of our food chain."
A fresh insight into how bird songs evolve over time has been provided by a University of Oxford study. The research analysed more than 100,000 bird songs to reveal the significant impact of population dynamics on song diversity and change. The researchers spent 3 years collecting more than 20,000 hours of sound recordings from a wild population of great tits in Oxfordshire. This population has been studied for the past 77 years as part of the Whiteham Great Tit Study. The aim was to investigate how the movement, age and turnover of birds within a population influences the diversity and evolution of their songs. The researchers trained an AI model to recognise individual birds based on their songs alone and measure song differences between individuals. This method allowed them to track variations in song repertoires across the population and uncover patterns in song evolution. Lead researcher Dr. Nilo Marino Recalde from the Department of Biology at the university said, "We're delighted and excited to find clear evidence that even at small scales, within neighbourhoods rather than whole populations, the movements and life histories of individual birds actively shape the songs they sing. The results showed birds of similar age tend to have more similar repertoires, with mixed age neighbourhoods having a higher cultural diversity. The pace of song turnover within neighbourhoods is driven by individuals coming and going. When birds die or leave, many song types disappear with them, and the young birds that replace them can speed up the adoption of new song types. At the same time, age serves as a brake on change, as older birds continue to sing song types that are becoming less frequent in the population. In this way, older birds can function as cultural repositories of older song types that younger birds may not know, just as grandparents might remember songs that today's teenagers have never heard. The study also found when birds mix more, they tend to adopt more common songs, which also slows the pace of song evolution. Areas where birds stay close to their birthplace maintain more diverse and unique song cultures, similar to how isolated human communities often develop distinct dialects or musical styles. Immigrant birds arriving from elsewhere typically adopt local songs rather than introducing entirely new tunes." Dr. Recalde said, "Just as human communities develop distinct dialects and musical traditions, some birds also have local song cultures that evolve over time. Our study shows exactly how population dynamics, The comings and goings of individual birds affect this cultural learning process, influencing song diversity and the pace of change.
Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi are reportedly planning to leave their mansion in the Cotswolds. Their move was allegedly in protest to Donald Trump's election in 2024. But a report in The Sun in October reported that the couple had bought a Cotswold property predating the election. Problems have arisen since their move, with reports of flooding last year in the area where their house is located. Then the couple's vintage Land Rover Defender was so wired that they were put off driving it through the width restrictions in their new village, according to the Daily Mail. To make matters worse, local parish councillors raised concerns that the 67-year-old committed a technical breach when she built a single-storey extension. Three parish councillors feared that it could disturb Roman remains and contacted local planning enforcement officers. The parish council minutes say the onus is on the owner to report any historic remains uncovered. Concerns were expressed by residents that the hedge and wire fence could increase flood risk in the village if rubbish was swept down and caught on the fence, thereby limiting flow across the fields. Mail Online now reports that the couple are potentially looking to move houses to somewhere else in the area.
A city fridge in Oxford, which will redistribute excess food to the community, is set to open this month. Oxford City Fridge is a community initiative by Hearty Earth Community Ambassadors and the Westgate Hotel on Botley Road. Its main aim is to reduce food waste by redistribution and will collect surplus items on a daily basis from the main two charities that collect countywide, Oxford Food Hub and Sophia. It will focus on surplus of surplus, which is what is left after all the other charities, food banks and others have taken everything they need or can save. Hearty Earth founder Dr. Saman Jamshifard gave a short speech thanking Oxford independent businesses that make Hearty Earth happen on a daily basis at the launch on Friday, March the 7th. He thanked the flower shop, Kennington Flooring, Westgate Hotel, Fishtail and Dosa Park restaurants, Happy Cakes. Oxford City Fridge will be open at the Botley side of the Westgate Hotel on 1 Botley Road from March the 17th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. with food free to all members of the public.
Oxford East MP Annalisa Dodds has reiterated her backing for Oxford United's new stadium plans during a debate in Parliament. The discussion in Westminster Hall on Thursday, March the 6th, centred on English football, financial sustainability and governance. The debate was led by Woodley and early MP Yuan Yang. Speaking during the debate, Ms Dodd said, "Oxford United, which I was grateful that Ms Yang mentioned, must be able to move out of the Kassam Stadium, for which they're charging an unviable rent, despite lacking a fourth stand and many other problems. Does she agree with me that the club's exciting proposals for a new stadium in Kidlington must go forward, but also that future governance models need to stop previous owners from entrapping clubs in unviable and unsustainable stadia?" Ms Yang replied, "I very much agree with my honourable friend that stadiums are also vital assets and community assets, and I look forward one day, hopefully, to seeing Reading beat Oxford at the new Kidlington Stadium." In September 2023, Ms Dodds became the first MP to give their public backing to United's stadium proposals. She hosted a reception on behalf of the U's, which is the slang term for United, at the Houses of Parliament. And when asked whether she supported the proposed move to the Triangle, Ms Dodds responded, "Yes, I do." I think everyone locally would love it if they could stay playing their matches at the Kassam Stadium. But sadly, that has just not proved possible given the current situation. So we need to secure the future of Oxford United. So I do support the plans. United submitted a planning application to Charbel District Council for a 16,000 capacity stadium at the Triangle, south of Kidlington Roundabout, at the end of February 2024. It was announced last month that the council has asked for more time to review additional information, meaning that the earliest a decision will be made on the stadium application is now June the 5th. The U's see their licence agreement at the Kassam Stadium run out on June the 30th, 2026, and the club is therefore looking to build a new home at the Triangle. The club says it is in advanced discussions regarding alternative short-term provision for the period between the lease of the Kassam expiring in 2026 and the proposed stadium being ready. The Mail revealed last month that support for United's proposals, new stadium, outweighed opposition, with more than three quarters of a reconsultation in favour of the plans. Charbel undertook a period of statutory reconsultation in the new year, following the receipt of additional environmental information from the U's at the end of last year. More than 600 public comments were submitted to the council during the consultation, with research from the Oxford Mail unearthing that 76% of those comments were in support, while 24% were against the plans.
Families, schools and clubs across Oxfordshire are being encouraged to take part in a 3 kilometre walking challenge. Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust's Hedgehog Walk aims to get people out walking, wheeling or rolling to raise funds for wildlife conservation. The challenge, which will take place from March 31st to April 13th, coincides with the period when hedgehogs come out of hibernation. Participants are encouraged to cover the same distance a hedgehog typically wanders in a single night. After signing up online, individuals will receive a range of downloadable activities, including spotter sheets, a hedgehog walk poster, and litter picking guides. Those who manage to raise more than £30 for wildlife will also win a special prize. Liz Shearer, BBOUT's Community Engagement Director, said, "Walking for wildlife is a fantastic way for families to connect with nature while helping protect it. The hedgehog walk is not just about raising funds, it's about sparking a love for the environment and empowering the next generation to take action for nature. With hedgehogs and so many other species facing challenges, collective movements like this really count. We hope this fun, interactive challenge will give children the confidence to advocate for nature and the knowledge that even small acts can make a big difference for wildlife and their habitats. The event is being supported by children's TV show Timmy Time, created by Aardman. Rachel Peacock, Senior Brand Manager at Aardman, said, "We're delighted to be partnering again with the Wildlife Trusts for this special collaboration. Timmy and Apricot are the perfect companions to explore the great outdoors with, and we really believe that this partnership will encourage families to get their welly boots on and raise money for a great cause." The event's also been supported by the children's TV presenter, Maddie Moat. She said, "When I was little, I remember watching my mum nurse hedgehogs back to health after finding them poorly, so this challenge feels particularly close to home. All of nature is so important, and getting everyone involved, no matter how young, is completely necessary. Little feet can make a big change, so let's make every step count." Sign up from February the 24th and join Timmy, Apricot and friends as you walk for wildlife. BBOUT is one of 46 wildlife trusts across the UK working to achieve the shared aim of securing a better future for wildlife. It has a wilder vision of more nature everywhere for everyone and aims to put nature into recovery on 30% of land across the three counties by 2030.
Developers of the leisure site in Oxford near Kassam have said plans will include a cinema in an update as the public are invited to share their views. A proposal to redevelop Ozone Leisure Park near Kassam Stadium, which included a view cinema and bowling alley, were met with opposition when it was announced last month. The project seeks to replace the much-loved family venue with a science centre, including offices, research facilities and a laboratory, as well as community space. Significant backlash followed, emphasising the loss of the View Cinema, one of the last family-friendly movie venues in the city, since the loss of both Oxford's Odeons, with the two separate petitions garnering hundreds of signatures asking to save the site from redevelopment. Project leaders have now updated the plans, saying the plans are being drawn up for a replacement cinema at a scale that will be attractive to operators, as well as valuable community amenities. They added that the investment will also restore the Priory, a Grade II listed building in Littlemore called the Minchery Farmhouse, to sustainable long-term use, which would take it off Historic England's at-risk register. The developers also hope to generate jobs, enhance local transport and provide more green space near the city centre in a development which is necessary due to the shifting trends in the leisure market. A spokesman for Firoca Group, the owners of Ozone Leisure Park, said the current facilities are no longer sustainable in their present form. Many key tenants have benefited from reduced rent agreements over several years to ensure that they could continue operating. However, to secure the long-term future of the park, investment and change are needed. With several tenancies ending soon, we are at a pivotal stage to reinvest in the site. The owners, along with the development group Pioneer Group and project managers Bidwells, have now invited the community to have their say in the reimagining of the site. A community engagement event will be held on March 20th at the site to enable people who live in the area, businesses and visitors to help shape the future of the leisure park. But many who are interested in the site have already publicly expressed their views in campaigning against the plans.
The expansion of both Physician Associates, PAs, and Anaesthetist Associates, AAs, across the NHS has been questioned by a new University of Oxford review. The research, conducted by Oxford's Nuffield Department of Primary Care Health Sciences and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, found little evidence supporting the safety and effectiveness of these roles in the UK. The review has been written to inform the ongoing government-commissioned Laing Review, which is examining the effectiveness and safety of these roles in UK healthcare. PAs and AAs are being introduced rapidly across the NHS to address workforce shortages and funding cuts, but questions remain over the quality of their training. Under current guidelines, PAs and AAs undertake 2 years of training following an undergraduate degree, unlike doctors, who undergo 5 years of training to qualify and a further 10 years to specialise. The review found little evidence supporting the effectiveness and safety of the PA and AA roles. Research on PAs and AAs in the UK was found to be very limited, with many studies including fewer than 10 PAs. Few of the studies screened for the review were of sufficient quality and relevance to current NHS policy, the review found, with many being small, outdated or lacking rigour. Only one small study assessed the competence of PAs through direct observation, and no studies directly assessed the safety of AAs. The review found no research examined safety incidents or prescribing safety, nor was there evidence assessing PA and AA roles in managing high-risk or complex patients. There's also no evidence deploying PAs or AAs improves efficiency or saves money. As a senior doctor is needed to oversee and check the work of PAs and AAs, they may be more expensive than employing doctors. Professor Tricia Greenhull, lead author of the study and Professor of Primary Care Health Sciences at the University of Oxford, said the expansion of physician and anaesthetic associates should be informed by solid empirical research. At present, we simply do not have the data to support claims that these roles improve efficiency or maintain safety. The absence of reported safety incidents in research studies does not mean they do not occur. It means we are not doing the right kind of research to detect or analyse them. The study calls for a national scope of practice for PAs and AAs, informed by research into their safety, efficacy and cost effectiveness. It also suggests a systematic investigation into safety incidents involving PAs and AAs, studies evaluating their impact on patient outcomes, and an assessment of the hidden costs and inefficiencies associated with their deployment.
A dog from Oxfordshire has won a popular crossbreed competition at Crufts. Lola, a one-year-old Whippet Saluki Collie cross owned by Bex Hall from Banbury, won the so-called Scruffs Family Crossbreed of the Year title on Saturday, March the 8th. Lola was one of four crossbreed finalists in the National Scruffs Competition. Hundreds of dogs competed in qualifying heats around the country in 2024, with 24 dogs and their owners taking part in the semi-finals, which also took place at Crufts earlier on Saturday last week. Miss Hall said, "I'm so happy. I'm so proud of her. I've cried a lot. Lola came at a time when I was in a bit of a bad place. I'd had a really bad birth with my baby. I'd shut down and I wouldn't really go out. But me and Lola have now done so many things together, and she's just given me a new lease of life." The four finalists were judged by actress and hits radio presenter Gemma Atkinson and dog judge Glenn Davies, who were looking for qualities such as good character, health and temperament with people and other dogs. On choosing the winner, Ms. Atkinson said, "They've all got such lovely backstories. They've all changed their owners' lives in some remarkable way. I know the dogs just think they're here for fun day out, but you just feel bad having to choose one. You just look into their eyes and want to tell the other three they've won as well, but of course they're all winners." Bex had a very traumatic childbirth, which I also did, and I know how that feels. And she said little Lola brought her back to life, so I think the fact that she is there helping her to be a better mum is wonderful. It's like a full circle for them all. It's a lovely little family. The Scruffs Family Crossbreed of the Year competition is run by the Kennel Club, which organise Crufts, and caters exclusively for crossbreed dogs, dogs whose parents are of two different breeds or a mixture of several breeds. The other three finalists were Chester, a Cocker Spaniel Border Terrier cross, owned by Jodie Hall from Bournemouth in Dorset. Marnie, a mixed breed, owned by Lynn Freeman from Harlow in Essex. And Miley, a 10-year-old Labrador miniature poodle cross, owned by Kevin Norcott from Newcastle. As well as the Scruffs Crossbreed Family Dog of the Year title, Lola received a year's supply of healthy hypoallergenic dog food from James Wellbeloved. Dogs from across Oxfordshire took part in the many categories of contest, which were staged by Crufts.
Blenheim Palace will recreate a photo taken three quarters of a century ago to mark its 75th anniversary of being open to the public. As part of its anniversary celebrations, the UNESCO World Heritage Site near Woodstock is inviting employees, visitors and members of the public to join in this unique photo opportunity. At 4 p.m. on April the 1st, the palace will recreate a photo taken on the day it first opened to the public in 1950. Members of the public will meet in the Great Court in front of the palace where the photo will be taken. Anyone taking part in the recreation will be entered into a competition worth £300 to win afternoon tea for four people in the orangery, as well as four tickets to Christmas 2025 at Blenheim Palace. This is just one of the many events and activities Blenheim Palace has planned to celebrate its 75th anniversary this year. This year, the palace has embarked on its most ambitious restoration initiative to date, repairing a large section of its roof. The attraction first opened its doors to the public to raise funds for essential roof conservation work, to preserve the architecture and safeguard the heritage for generations to come. The £12 million project is centred on ensuring the roof remains resilient against the elements that threaten its historical integrity.
Shop owners in Oxford say they're suffering as an increase in shoplifting hits already struggling independent businesses. City centre businesses have said there is growing frustration and insecurity due to shoplifting in the city centre, which they say is getting worse. Figures released by Thames Valley Police show shoplifting has seen one of the biggest spikes in offences in the past year. A crime summary covering the period from last April to January this year showed crime in Oxfordshire went up by 1.5% overall, with shoplifting jumping up 33%. This took the number of reported cases from just over 3,600 in the year 23-24 to nearly 5,000 last year and continues the trend of year-on-year increases. Yet, traders say the problem is far worse, with many offences going unreported. Emily Scaysbrook, owner of Hoyles of Oxford, an independent family-run games shop which has been on the high street since 1997, says she can't imagine there's any business that isn't affected by the crime. Until recently, we felt quite fortunate we hadn't seen theft as too much of an issue, thinking that because we're a small independent business, maybe people have better will towards us, she said. Yet, a theft last month in which a hooded man came into the shop and made off with the most expensive items in the shop, two digital chess computer boards retailing at £200 to £300 each, left staff shaken. Although the business owner said the response from police and the city council was helpful and sympathetic, a lack of security in the shop or outside on the street meant that the perpetrator would never be caught. Mrs. Scaysbrook, who is also secretary of the Oxford High Street Association, OSA, reached out to other shops in the area and found many of them had experienced similar issues. At the meeting of the OSA, I raised the issue of shoplifting, and the general response from independent businesses was, "We've stopped reporting it because what's the point?" she said. Because so many national chains are seeing it as an increasing problem and adding security, there's a general understanding from shoplifters that they need to move further out of the centre and target independent businesses who have less security. Charlotte Mortel, co-owner of the Crafters Emporium, CIC, in Cornmarket Street, said reporting crimes and adding security measures haven't stopped the crimes. She said it's really bad the last 3 or 4 months and it's getting worse. We've had people stealing hundreds of pounds worth of items on several occasions. This has included a repeat offender amassing more than £400 in thefts and a gang of people working together to target and distract to steal £120 in jewellery. It feels very personal, Ms. Martel said. It's not just the money we've lost, but I feel that someone stealing from these local crafters who work so hard to produce for us are stealing from my own home. They're already struggling as a small business and I have to sit down with them and tell them they've had another theft. It's just a constant battle. A spokesman for the police said Thames Valley Police remains committed to tackling shoplifting and retail crime in Oxfordshire. We're aware of the impact that these crimes have on those that work in the retail industry and we will continue to work with our retail partners so that we can gather information. They said that Operation Purchase has seen more than 370 retail crime patrols carried out to act as a deterrent and support retailers. Gianni, owner of Il Botanico, an Italian cafe in Windmill Road, Eddington, said his store's CCTV cameras have captured recent shoplifting incidents. Over the past few years, we've noticed a rise not only in the number of thefts, but also in the boldness of those committing them, he said. This has undoubtedly had a negative impact on our business. Beyond the financial losses, there's also a growing sense of frustration and insecurity among our staff, who often have to deal with these situations during working hours. We are taking steps to strengthen our security measures, but it's clear this is a broader issue that requires collective action and greater support from the authorities.
A fast food restaurant has been forced to close after it and four other city centre businesses were targeted in suspected arson attacks. Five separate fires are believed to have been deliberately started outside businesses in central Oxford between 3:30 and 4 a.m. on the 13th of March. Thames Valley Police said blazes are thought to have been started by an offender torching rubbish left outside by traders in Newin Hall Street, Queen Street and Corn Market. US chicken shop Popeyes, Pret a Manger, Bravissimo, Scribbler and Fatface all suffered fire damage to their stores. A 43-year-old was arrested on suspicion of arson and criminal damage and last night remained in custody. Detective Sergeant Matthew Gorman of Oxford CID said, "I understand these arson attacks may be alarming, but I want to reassure businesses and the public that we have made an arrest and we are not looking for anyone else in connection with these offences. We're also working with the affected businesses and other traders in the city centre. I'm appealing for any witnesses or anyone with information about this series of arsons to please come forward. If you have CCTV cameras in the area, I'd also ask that you check your recordings in case it has captured something that could assist our investigation. To contact us, call 101 or make a report on our website, quoting the reference 432 501 22649. Alternatively, you can provide information anonymously to the independent charity Crime Stoppers, or by calling 0800 555 111 or via its website. Police tape could be seen around Popeyes yesterday morning, along with a pile of burnt rubbish outside the eatery. The shop's sign was singed with the recognisable orange colour blackened by flames. A spokesperson for Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue confirmed two fire engines from Rooley Road Station attended the scene at around 3:58 a.m. Fire crews extinguished the burning bins, leaving the scene around 5 a.m. While Popeyes remains closed, the other affected shops opened as usual. The police confirmed that only the chicken shop and Pret suffered substantial damage. None of the Pret staff were injured in the fire at its shop. The store, operated by Pret's partner Dallas Holdings, received minor paint damage during the incident. Pret, Popeyes, Fatface, Bravissimo and Scribbler were all approached for more information by the Oxford Mail, while Popeyes declined to comment.
Oxford's homegrown band Supergrass will play Glastonbury Festival this year in an exciting lineup announcement. After a 10-year breakup, followed by a successful reunion, the band, whose frontman Gaz Coombs originates from Wheatley, announced a special tour this year. May the 15th will mark 30 years since the release of I Should Coco, the best-selling debut album, which features international hit single All Right. The gig will be the fifth time playing on one of the Somerset Festival stages, 3 years on from their last appearance in 2022. After its heyday from the mid-1990s to the early 2000s, the band split up due to musical and creative differences. Singer-songwriter Gaz Coombs embarked on a successful solo career in the 10 years following the painful split, releasing three albums. Speaking on his album Turn the Car Around from 2023, he previously told the Oxford Mail the solo career had helped him to evolve. There's a lot of subject matter in there that I've played with and maybe not managed to see through in the past. I've evolved, he said. The one thing that has really nourished me in the last 10 years is the idea of evolving as an artist, evolving my writing to keep moving forward. I run on vibe. I always have. He performed songs from the album at a gig in Oxford's New Theatre, his first hometown show in 5 years at the time, in December 2023. It delighted the original fans, who were disappointed Gaz didn't visit the city at all on his original tours. Many of them had followed him since his earliest days, when he started a band, The Jennifers, while at Wheatley Park School, aged 16. The original act then transformed into Supergrass, with bandmate Danny Goffey and friend Mick Quinn, whom he had met while working at a local restaurant. The band later expanded to taking Gaz's brother Rob and went on to have six top 20 albums. Three went platinum. After their 10-year break, the band reformed in 2019 and embarked on a tour in Europe and the United States. Gaz told Q magazine at the time, "We needed the distance of time to forget some of the pain. At the end, it was painful. I needed 10 years. He also warned fans not to expect new music from the four-piece, saying, "I don't want to rule anything out, but that's not part of it. It's just this one year I'm up for doing these gigs." But the band will play at least one further gig on Friday, June the 25th at Glastonbury Festival at Worthy Farm Pilton in Somerset.
Dreams of turning part of Oxford's historic city centre into a new children's playground have won support in a petition. A campaign group is calling for a play area to be included in a new vision to brighten up the city centre, suggesting it could be built in Broad Street or St Giles. However, business leaders are insisting it should be located away from historic landmarks. The petition set up by the group OxPlay has now been signed by almost 2,000 people. Oxford City Council has allocated money for the playground in this year's budget, after a motion calling for a city centre playground for Oxford was passed in November. While a site for the playground has yet to be identified, the group says that St Giles and Broad Street could be used. It also suggested sites near to the railway station or in Magdalen Street. Others have said Gloucester Green or an area beside the Castle Mound or the Westgate would be better suited. Petition founder Josie Proctor said, "We love the city, but there's a big group of people that don't visit as much as they could. Families stay away because there's nowhere for children to burn off energy between stops." She added, "Imagine buying school shoes from a shop instead of the internet. Or a day trip to a museum, then an ice cream. All this would be possible with a playground. It's good for business, good for families, good for locals, good for tourists and good for Oxford." However, hotelier Jeremy Mogford, owner of the Old Bank Hotel, the Old Parsonage and Quad Restaurant, raised concerns about how a playground would affect the character of the city centre. He said, "If Oxford has to have a playground, then there would be many other locations more suited to it than Broad Street or St Giles. I would suggest that part of Gloucester Green would be the perfect setting, not among all the listed buildings or in an historic part of the city that people from all over the world come to visit and take photos of." Graham Jones, campaign manager for ROCKS, Backing Oxford Business, formerly known as Rescue Oxford, said he fully supported the principle of a playground, but it should not be located on a highway. He said, "There's not enough in the way of recreation space for young children in the city centre, but putting them on highways is not a good idea. The highways are needed for getting people in and out of the city." He added that the land between Castle Mound and the West Gate could be suitable, given that it would be away from traffic. Oxfordshire County Council set up a survey last week, asking residents to provide new suggestions and feedback on proposals for improving the streets in Oxford City Centre and Oxford North. Oxplay is calling for people to respond to the consultation and ask for a city centre playground to be included in the proposals. The County Council's proposals for St Giles include relocation of tourist coach bays from the bottom of the road, creating a public square around St Mary Magdalene Church, and improving walking and cycling infrastructure. While the survey is not a formal consultation, local people will be able to provide feedback on ideas and add suggestions. Businesses have previously raised concerns about how the possible removal of parking spaces in the city centre could impact local businesses. City Councillor Catherine Miles, representing Summertown, put forward the motion calling for a city centre playground and said it would be a win-win for business and society. She said, "Play space for children in the city centre will bring commercial benefits for Oxford, as people with children will see the city centre as a welcoming destination to spend time and money, boosting our economy. What's more, play is essential for children's health, development and resilience building, so it's a win-win for business and society. I'm thrilled to see the Lib Dem calls for a playground in the city centre moving one step further to realisation. The idea for the playground is based on other European cities with a similar architectural heritage who have integrated play spaces into their designs. Oxford City Council has allocated £60,000 in total in the Council's budget for the City Centre Playground for between now and 2027. This money is earmarked to pay for councillor officers' time and specialist consultant support for a feasibility study around permanent options for a City Centre play space. A City Council spokesperson said the authority still needed to find out the total delivery and operational costs of the scheme, and that would determine how the playground is funded. Options could include developer funding, corporate sponsorship, or funding from the Community Infrastructure Levy, which councils use for programmes to support development. Councillor Louise Upton, Cabinet Member for Planning, said, "It's really important to have spaces to play, where children can develop social, physical and emotional skills. A playground in the city centre will also make it more attractive to bring young families into Oxford, where they can also take advantage of the museums and other cultural activities going on." She added the City Council would be running a series of pop-up play areas in the city centre while it tries to identify a permanent site. The City Council is responsible for parks, while the County Council is responsible for highways and transport management.
Queues formed as Taco Bell opened its first ever Oxfordshire restaurant. The new fast food spot had a grand ribbon-cutting opening at the M40 Welcome Break services near Oxford last Monday. Excited customers watched as the country's first ever branch of the American multinational chain was formally opened before making their orders via the touch screens. A spinning wheel was present for visitors to have the chance of winning free meals, and there was a purple and black balloon arch marking the new store. Priyanka Sharma, marketing executive at Taco Bell, said, "The response to Oxfordshire's first Taco Bell has been amazing. The excitement from the community has been overwhelming, with locals turning up in great numbers to get their hands on our iconic tacos, burritos and quesadillas. Our spin the wheel has been a huge hit, creating a real buzz around the launch." The restaurants serve a variety of Mexican-inspired foods, with a menu including a variety of tacos, burritos, quesadillas and nachos. As of 2023, Taco Bell serves over 2 billion customers every year at a total of 8,212 restaurants. Around 94% of these locations are owned and operated by independent franchisees and licensees. Despite being one of the larger counties in the UK, Oxfordshire was yet to have its very own Taco Bell prior to this week. residents would have had to travel to Swindon for their nearest store, meaning that the newest edition has had a busy start to life already. Sam Blackburn, development lead at Taco Bell, said, "Bringing Taco Bell to Oxfordshire for the first time has been an exciting journey, and we're thrilled to see it come to life in partnership with Welcome Break. The store has been incredibly busy since opening, demonstrating the strong demand for our brand in the area. From design to execution, everything has gone smoothly, and it's fantastic to see locals embracing Taco Bell." Outfitted with the latest digital channels, the restaurant has multiple customer accessibility points, including free Wi-Fi, power outlets, and of course seating. To celebrate its grand opening, it has launched a new menu item called the Chipotle Ranch Grilled Chicken Burrito.
A young commuter has been fined over £200 after being caught at an Oxfordshire railway station without a valid ticket. Islam Abusi of Saxon Road, Abingdon, was caught on August 6 last year at Didcot Pathway Station without a valid ticket entitling to travel. The 24-year-old was charged under the Railways Act 2005. He pleaded guilty at Barkingside Magistrates Court on February the 28th to one count of boarding a train in non-compulsory ticket area without a valid ticket. He was fined £220 and ordered to pay £45 in compensation. There was also an order for him to pay £175 in court costs and a victim surcharge of £88.
Oxford United have reported a record turnover. However, the club's losses still stand at almost £16 million. Total turnover for the year up to last June reached £8.4 million, compared with £7.5 million in 22-23. However, the club's gross loss rose from £2.1 million to £3.5 million, and United's net loss for the year stood at nearly £16 million. Meanwhile, the Ewes have said that investment from shareholders over the last 2 years into the new stadium project is now in excess of £6.5 million.
An Oxfordshire MP is among those challenging the decision for taxpayers to foot the bill for Thames Water's £3 billion bailout. The High Court sanctioned a £3 billion loan to keep England's biggest water company afloat in February. However, Charles Maynard, MP for Witney, as well as a group of Thames Water's secondary creditors and its parent company, Thames Water Limited, are challenging Mr Justice Leach's decision at the Court of Appeal. Speaking ahead of the appeal, Mr Maynard said, "I'm fighting for the 16 million customers who've been left to foot the bill of Thames Water's mismanagement. Both Ofwat and the government have buried their head in the sand as firms such as Thames Water ramp up billions of pounds of extraordinarily expensive debt while continuing to pump tons of disgusting sewage into British rivers and seas. This cannot continue, and the Liberal Democrats will lead from the front and fight to protect customers. The ultimate question is who should bear the costs of the disastrous way Thames Water has been run. The shareholders and creditors who are responsible for making those decisions, or the customers who have had to put up with poor service at extortionate prices. The solution is obvious. Thames Water must be put into special administration, so much of the debt can be written off and the company put onto a stable financial footing. The appeal hearing began on Tuesday, March the 11th and was due to conclude this week. In written submissions for Tuesday's hearing, Andrew Thornton KC for Thames Water Limited said, "The outcome of this plan, if upheld, will enable senior lenders to extract from the group vast sums in fees and costs. The terms are mispriced and inappropriate. Thames Water has faced outrage from the public and environmental groups for polluting the rivers, as well as over the rising utility costs. The utility company's debt stands at £16 billion. The loan would guarantee that Thames Water can keep operating until 2026 by providing £1.5 billion of funding, with a further £1.5 billion potentially available with a 9.75% interest rate. Last month, the court heard that the company would go into special administration in March if the loan was not approved, and that it would be an interim measure to keep the utility running before a substantive restructuring due later this year. Barristers for Mr. Maynard previously told the High Court that allowing the company to go into public administration was a better and fairer course which served the public interest and customers' interests.
Oxford Bus Group has welcomed its first all-female cohort of trainee bus drivers. It is the first time in the company's 140-year history that its intake of trainee drivers has been exclusively female. It forms part of a vision by Oxford Bus Group's parent company, the Go Ahead Group, to achieve greater gender diversity amongst its drivers by 2035. The new drivers will spend a month learning how to operate vehicles in Oxford at Oxford Bus Company's Cowley House Depot and carry out checks before taking two exams which must be passed before final training steps can be completed. Sarah Powell, relief instructor at Oxford Bus Group, leads the induction process with reported positive feedback from this week's first all-female trainee cohort. She said, "Almost 90% of bus drivers in our team are male, and we want to ensure all new drivers on our team feel comfortable and supported through their induction. We're very pleased to launch our first all-female cohort." Already the group has expressed how they feel more inclined to ask key questions by being part of an all-female group, which will help them develop key skills attached to the role of being a driver much quicker. "Breaking down these barriers and empowering more women in our industry to thrive is a positive step forward. All bus drivers are providing an essential service to our communities, without which people would struggle to fulfil their day-to-day responsibilities. It's an immensely rewarding role, and we are definitely seeing more women take to the roads and help keep our services moving." The Oxford Bus Group comprises Oxford Bus Company, Thames Travel, Carousel Buses, Pullums and City Sightseeing Oxford. Each operator is regularly recruiting drivers who are required to have held a manual driving licence for 12 months and have experience in customer service. Oxford Bus Group aims to offer an inclusive working environment to attract more women to a career in the bus industry as part of the Go Ahead Group Women in Bus initiative. Luke Marion, Managing Director of Oxford Bus Group, said, "International Women's Day is a great opportunity to showcase the outstanding contributions of our female employees who are critical in developing a smooth, safe and reliable service for our customers. Launching our first all-female cohort highlights the progress which has already been made to make the role of a bus driver more accessible and appealing to more women. This is a positive step forward in our ambition to achieve a greater ratio of male and female drivers within our workforce in the next decade."
Members of the public are being invited to walk barefoot across Fyre in support of a charity that helps visually impaired people across the county. My Vision Oxfordshire is asking people to take on the 2025 Fyre Walk to raise awareness of visual impairment and money to allow it to continue its work. The event, organised by the Rotary Club of Witney, will take place at Glyme Hall in Chipping Norton on the 28th of March from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. The deadline to sign up is March the 21st and entry is free. The charity said, "This is your chance to face your fears and experience the ultimate adrenaline rush. Firewalking is not only a physical challenge, but also a powerful mental exercise in overcoming doubts and pushing past your limits. Devante Claridge, who works for the charity, has already signed up for the challenge. He said, "This is a unique opportunity to try something you wouldn't normally do. So if you want some fun, heat and entertainment, join us on March 28th for the firewalk." Before taking on the walk, participants will receive training sessions from firewalking experts. The charity said they'll guide you through techniques, ensuring a fun and safe experience. Once prepared, you'll take your first steps across the fire, an unforgettable achievement. While signing up is free, participants are encouraged to raise donations to support My Vision Oxfordshire.
And that is all the news for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about OxTalk, please feel free to contact us by phoning 07496 062 280. That is 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message, or you can send us an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and past editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to these editions directly or download them online. If you need any help or have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. That is all for now. We hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening.